Conversations with Dog.
Hello and welcome to Conversations with Dog. This is Susie Gatti. I am your host. And today I actually have my dear friend Marilyn Bradford on the line with me for today's show. Hello, Marilyn. Welcome.
Hello, Susie. Thank you for having me.
I am delighted to have you today, Marilyn. You are just an amazing person, and I'm so grateful that you're here with me today, especially since we're not talking about the most delightful topic on the planet. We're talking a little bit about death and dying and grief and all of these things today, which a lot of people go into, you know, it spins them out, and a lot of people don't like talking about it, and a lot of people want to avoid the topic and so forth. So what would it take for us to kind of bring a little bit of lightness in the whole subject and see what else is possible with that today?
Absolutely. The thing about avoiding is it makes it bigger and heavier and drags on you, whereas if you really allow yourself to be with it, it can make actually quite a positive change in your life.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. It's like, it's amazing, actually. And one thing I want to start out with, just to say this up front for all of our listeners, the one thing that is really important here, that if you are going through this process right now, it is your process, and it is really absolutely what it is for you. Please don't look for other people's points of view about how it should be done. I know people like myself, I was so joyful after my cat died, and people kept looking at me like I was insane, but I really was at peace with it, and it was a very joyful event for me. So it's like, it doesn't have to be any which way. And if you're grieving over it and people are telling you to snap out of it, it's like, please don't make this wrong. But also please don't listen to anyone about what this should look like for you, because it is your process and you are the one that's going through it as well. So you're going to have to look at like what works for you. If you are in any kind of situation where it's no longer working for you, then we can certainly give you some tips and tricks. But this is not about making you right or wrong in the process of letting go of a loved one. So just up front, I wanted to put that out there so that people are not going like, well, am I wrong if I'm crying, or am I right if I'm laughing, or like all these things that are just insane points of views about this whole process.
That's really crucial, Susie. Thank you for saying that, because people almost want a roadmap, but then they judge themselves if they're not following the steps. And then I actually, this is kind of wacky, I just thought of it, but I did my first master's thesis on dealing with death, helping junior high school students deal with death. And at that time, there were all of these steps, and even when I was doing it, I thought, you know, this isn't disempowering to people whose grief process is different. And I think we've come a long way in honoring individuals. And yeah, there may be some things you go through, but it really is such a personal, individual process, and nothing you do is right or wrong. And that's, I think, really crucial for people to know.
Yeah, cool. So let's just actually run a clearing here. So everything you have bought from anybody in any lifetime about what it should look like when somebody else or something that is dear to you dies or disappears, how you should react, how you should be, how you should handle it, will you now please destroy and uncreate all of that and return it to sender? Times a godzillion. Right, wrong, good and bad, pun and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. Yeah, so, you know, and I know for you, Marilyn, too, you recently had your cat pass, and I know you know, for you it's also been a process, if you want to talk a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, the process itself, and I really look at it as two parts. There was the part when he was still alive and getting sick, And then there was the part after he was put down. And the actual grief process has been bigger for me than I thought it would be. And just, you know, having talked with you, Susie, and knowing there is no right or wrong way, that made such a huge, huge, huge difference. And when I looked at it, this kitty had been my constant and only companion often for 16 years.
Yeah.
And he was a huge part of my daily life in that sense. And I can come right out and say I took it really hard. And mm-hmm. it was, but what I did do was really allow myself to reach out to friends, allow myself to grieve. And fortunately, I have many animal lovers in my life. And I was, you know, well taken care of. And without getting into trauma drama about it, but just allowing myself to really experience it. And, wow, I really do miss him. And it's easing up, and it's still a lot of times, you know, I'll come into where I live, and it's like, oh, he's not there running out to greet me. Or I'll get up in the morning, and it's like, oh, I don't immediately get his food. I just make my coffee. And so one of the things that came out of that part of it with me was just the willingness to see, without making myself wrong, how much of an integral part of my life he was and how grateful I am to him for all of that. I mean, he was a very cool kitty.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a tendency, and I found it myself. I called up a friend once and I said, oh, I'm looking at it and I wasn't a good enough kitty mom and I should have done this and I shouldn't have done that. And she's like, You know, if you asked your kitty, his name is Demi, if you asked your kitty right now, were you a good enough kitty mom, what would he say? Which I thought was a really super question. And I got, oh, I was, you know, always ask a question, go figure. I really got that he was quite happy with me as his kitty mom.
Yeah,
so,
and that's actually a great point that you're making, Marilyn, because it's like, that's actually one of the things that a lot of people are not really even daring to do, is asking their animal a question after they have passed. It's almost like, why not? You know, why not actually ask them a question and sort of get an awareness of what was going on, especially if you start judging yourself about certain things. And especially around death, you know, there are so many judgments that we come up with. Well, we could have done more, we could have done this, we could have done that, instead of truly asking a question and just looking at the situation and asking the animal, is that how you actually desire to die? Or, you know, was the timing actually perfect for you? Like, just actually asking them the question rather than judging us. And also afterwards, like you say, hey, oh my God, I was a terrible kitty mom. Well, let's ask the kitty, you know, and then it's like, oops. wasn't true. And, you know, and sometimes you can also make a mistake. Like, you know, you can make a mistake. Like, you maybe should have done one thing or another, but the animals don't hold that against us. And they would never say, oh, well, you know, you did terrible. It's like looking at the whole picture rather than like one little thing you might have done, or that you now blow up to this like ginormic proportion, you know.
So. Right, exactly. Exactly. Well, I was reminded of this because I'm actually a psychotherapist in some part of my life. But I was reminded of this thing I read when I was studying theory by this fellow named Winnicott called The Good Enough Mother. And what he said was that you don't have to be perfect. All you have to be is good enough. Mm. And anyone who's a good enough, and that was so freeing for me when I thought about that with my kitty. It's like we're not required to get everything right exactly. Just being, and what I realized from it, it's the good enough in the doing, and it's who you be with your animal, the energy that you be, that's really what's the animal's responding to. Because, you know, they know that that goodness in you, that sweetness in you. And they, more than a lot of people often, are the ones that go, oh, yeah, I know that. That's who you really are. That's sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, even if you're having a bad hair day, yeah, I still like you.
They still like you if your thighs are fat, if you, you know, if you've got dead, if you're cranky, you know, they might, if you're cranky, they might run away for a while, but they come back and they're like, are you over being cranky yet? Can we have some fun? Could we play a little bit?
So, so true.
I know, and I know. You have a dog that doesn't even recognize cranky. He's like, are we playing? My favorite thing. You're here. My favorite thing.
Exactly. He doesn't care what's going on. It's like, are we having a good day? Yeah, so true. Yeah, so, you know, well, let's just see if maybe we can run some other clearing here, though, on all the places where we are trying to make ourselves perfect. So one of the things you can run actually over and over if you choose to get you over that point of view of having to be a perfect pet mom is, what stupidity am I using to be the perfect pet person or the perfect pet owner that I am choosing? And
oh, that's a good
that
one.
Is, you just try and uncreate all that, please, times a godzillion. Right,
yes.
Wrong, good, bad, bottom, park, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. Yeah, because a lot of us have this point of view that we need to be perfect. And what always cracks me up, Marilyn, is like when people say, well, I need to get it right. But what is actually right? You know,
yeah.
What is the right
yeah.
thing? And again, it's so different for every animal. Like some animals, like my cat, for example, she really had this point of view that she didn't want to be put down. And when it came to the last hour of her life, there was one moment where I saw her struggling, and I immediately went into a little bit of a panic, and I went like, oh, my God. And I said, do you want me to bring you to the vet? Do you want to be put down? And she had this way of looking at you that could really tell you, like, you're being an asshole. And so she just put that look out on me, and she was like, you know, what are you saying sort of thing. And I got it. It was like, hey, this is just part of the process for her, and it's fine. Like, she had no problem with it. So
yeah.
Also just realizing, like, is your animal okay with whatever is going on? You know, maybe your animal would like to die at home, and some other animal, like your cat, chose to be put down. He was in a lot of pain, and he didn't like it. And so it's like every animal is going to be different and has their own way of going through that process too. But I think what you said too at some point, Marilyn, was really kind of cool, was like the importance of being willing to actually stay present with them and having those
yeah.
times when they're still alive too. So if you want to talk a little bit more, because I know you had some really cool things to say about that too.
Well, for me, when he was an older kitty, and he had the common kidney issues, and when he was first diagnosed, the doctor's like, well, he can live, you know, quite a bit longer, even years, and I can't say how you give those fluids. What is that, Susie?
Subcutaneous
fluid.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. But which they did, you know, once at the, well, they did more than once, but they did at the vets, and we can teach you to do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, so we're okay. But I noticed more and more that he also had some form of arthritis or something. He was failing quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really began a dialogue with him, and it was so sweet. And he would have these times, and I was running some body energy work on him, and he would have these brief moments when he would just, oh, he'd be like him, his whole self, and spurt down. I have this really long, long, long way you can run. Spurt down there and stop and just be that. And we would, you know, we would look at each other, and it was like, yeah, I know, honey. That's who you really are. That's who you are. And I understand this body's, you know, his body's wearing out. It's not so fun for you to not be able to do that.
Yeah.
And we would have a couple of times out up on the patio where we were just so present with one another. And actually, that last day, then he just started to fail really quickly. He's quit eating. He almost quit drinking. And this is a cat that had been Fudo in the bowl was number one. I mean, you know, he was never overweight. It was interesting. But, boy, he was right there to make sure that that food bowl was filled. It was one of his favorite things. So when he quit eating and quit drinking, but he hid, which he does at some time, or did it sometimes, and I know a lot of animals, you know, when they're hurt, when they're in pain, they're under the bed or they're behind the door. But then he came out to me, and he was just so present, and I was just stroking him and telling him, you know, we're going to do whatever you want, and it's going to be okay, and I love you, and you are an amazing kitty. And he really let me know that he did. I asked, do you want to go to the vet? Do you want to die at home? He didn't want to go through any more pain, and he certainly didn't want me to do any more medical procedures. He didn't like having a pill in his mouth. I tried doing the fluids once at home. And it wasn't even that it was so hard to do. It just traumatized him more. He's like, uh-uh. You know, he was kind of a DNR kind of thing. We're not doing any of that stuff. And I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, and he did want to go to the vet. And to me, one of the most poignant things is every time we would go to the vet, which wasn't that often because he was an indoor cat, but he would scream his head off the entire time in the car. Meow, 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 I'm not going, meow, meow, just to let me know, you know, just. And even though he wanted to go to the vet, and even though he could barely meow, he was doing that all the way to the vet.
Right.
And it was like, I just love you, you're so in character. You know, I'm just going to let you know. I'm objecting a little bit here. And it was actually, because he was so clear, it was actually, and I have a wonderful vet, it's just about as easy as it could be in that sense, you know.
Yeah.
And I just got, because it's so, I got once again, and they're, you know, they're people, they're beings, they're animals, they're times in nature, just the value of being so 100% present with another being. It was awesome. It was just amazing. And, you know, how often we're just kind of on automatic pilot and kinds of things. So,
yeah. Yeah, so everything that brought up for all of our listeners, will you know, please destroy and uncreate all that times a godzillion.
Yeah.
All right, and wrong, good and bad, pot and talk, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. It's like there's this energy up. It's almost like people are judging themselves for something. So everything that is, everywhere you're judging yourself for either thinking you did it right or you did it wrong or you should have done this or that when your animal died, we know, please destroy and uncreate all that times a godzillion. Thank you. Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. I actually have to say, though, Marilyn, like the one day, like I was actually in a workshop the day that my kitty died, and I was in a 5-day workshop, and it was day 3 of the workshop, and I was about to leave that morning, and I got a very strong sense from her that she was going to die that day, so I canceled the day and I didn't go, and thankfully I wasn't the one doing the workshop, so I was a participant. But what was interesting, like, was having that entire day with her. And it was almost like we went through some of our things, like you're saying, like the cat running down the hallway. She didn't do that. She was over 20, so she wasn't really running much. She could barely move, but she did walk outside with me. And so we did, like, these things all day, and I was just really present with her. I dedicated the whole day to that and literally didn't do anything but just was with her and enjoyed the day with her. And I was so grateful that we did that. There is so much about that in a way of just being able to say things to each other and just kind of, like, you know, get some closure or whatever that is. I don't even know what that is, but it was actually a really beautiful day for me. And so, you know, if you have the chance to do something like that with your elderly pet, where you can prepare a little bit for all of that, it's really beautiful. You know, check it out if you can, if you desire to do it, because that can really make a difference for you,
But if it's something that comes sudden, then you can't do something like that, of course. You know, if your cat, if your animal dies, you know, by in an accident or something like that, there's not much you can do about that in that realm. But there are a lot of animals that get older, and we are in the process with them. So this is a really nice way to sort of stay in connection. And then also you will know. So many people I meet, they always go, I don't know when is the right time. And I always say, don't worry, you will know. The
yes.
animal lets you know, and they will let you know if it's done. You know, they will let you know what, I had enough. And you will know. Or maybe there's a time when you had enough. I had this dog that I did hospice care for, basically, and he wasn't my dog. I literally just got him when he had cancer, and he spent the last 3 months of his life with me. But there came a time when I was literally at my wit's end with him, and I brought him to the vet to be put down. He was not necessarily ready himself, but I couldn't do it another day. Excuse me. So you also, it has to work for everyone involved. Like, and, you know, and I don't feel bad about what I did, but I know it wasn't what he was choosing that moment. But for me, I just couldn't do it anymore. You know, it was way, like, I just couldn't deal with it. So again, like, you know, don't make yourself wrong if it's all of a sudden a place where you go like, I can't do with this anymore, you know.
Yeah.
And then at the time, I didn't really have the tools that I have now, but still, I still didn't feel bad for doing it, and I'm grateful I didn't, because it actually just was like one of those moments. Yeah, so again, everything that is, for anyone listening, who you now just turn on, create all that, please, time to God, Zillion.
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. So Marilyn, I know that you do have a couple of things that you work with people and their grieving process, usually around other people. And I know you do have a couple of tricks up your sleeve. Do you want to share a few of those?
I actually did a teleseminar on recovering from pet loss. And we did a lot of different things. But one of the things that we did that really helped people the most, or, you know, just reported from them, was to write a letter to yourself from your pet. And you can actually do that. If you'll just get into the energy of your pet, what would your pet like to say to you? And, you know, it's one of those things, obviously, it's not something you sit down and type out in the middle of the work. You know, you find a quiet time an evening or a Saturday or Sunday by yourself and spend a little time, if you know, depend, you know, how long your pet has passed. Maybe take out a photo and just think, what would, you know, whatever their name is, what would Demi like to say to me?
Mm-hmm.
And start writing. And it can be a really, really valuable tool to see it from their eyes and to see what they would like to say to you. And one of the things that goes along with that is really being sure, and you brought this up in the beginning, nobody's process is the same, really honoring yourself through this process. And honoring means to treat with regard. And you want to treat yourself with as much kindness as you possibly can. For instance, I was fortunate enough to be going to visit a friend the day after I had to put my kitty down. Now, you know, timing is amazing, because I would have canceled it, but he was ready to go, you know. So it was like, okay, well, that works, because I'm going to stay with a friend who has two cats and is a big kitty lover. And I just walked in and I said, you know what, I'm not really sure what this weekend's going to be like, but I may just burst into tears. She was like, that's okay, don't worry about it. And I knew she would be that way. And I said, I don't have much to say. She said, I figured you didn't. So we got a bunch of movies here. Let's watch a movie, and then we'll go eat. And that's what we did. And all by way of saying that instead of doing what I might have done 10 years ago, which is, oh, everything's fine, don't worry about it, and sort of huddling in private to cry and pretending that, you know, it really wasn't such a big deal, when it really is still a big deal, I I treated myself with regard. I honored myself. I took care of myself by being around people who would understand what I was going through, who could relate, and just being exactly where I was with it. And I think that that's just so, so, so crucial for people. So that's another thing to really be aware of. Be around people that honor your process and be willing to be there with your process. Because it sounds so odd, Susie, but it's actually very expansive to do that.
Well, and what I got that your friend was doing was not trying to fix you. She was just like, oh, well, I figured you might not want to have a lot to say, so let's watch a movie. It's like she wasn't trying to change you. She wasn't trying to make it all better for you. She was basically just handing you a handkerchief, which is really the best way. That's a great friend, you know, a friend that will hand you the handkerchief, but not somebody who then, you know, smothers you with their whatever, all of a sudden it becomes about them rather than it just being like, oh, here, okay, you're crying, here's a handkerchief. You don't want to talk, watch a movie, you know. Oh, now you want to laugh? Let's laugh together. Like, just literally being there with you and not trying to make it any different than what it is. So that's actually really cool to have a friend like that. So if you have a friend like that and if you are going through the process, then pick them. You know, stay away from the ones that are trying to judge you in the process or trying to tell you how you should be grieving, which, again, you know, is not really going to be very helpful to you and your process. But I do like the idea with the letter writing. That's a cool idea. And, of course, you know, one of the things, too, that is really important is that you run some clearings on yourself, too, basically clearing you of all the places where you are falling into like a pattern of, you know, grief that is really maybe not even yours. Because we think we have to do it a certain way, like now I have to cry, but what if it wasn't yours, you know? So that's something you definitely also want to check in and ask the question, well, is this even mine? And then if it is not, then please use the tools, use the clearing statement to get yourself out of something that may not even be yours, that may not be something you actually really require to be doing. So you may actually be somebody who wants to just laugh and move on, and that's fine too. So again, please, you know, don't make yourself wrong in either direction. Just look for what actually works for you. So everything that is, will you destroy and uncreate all that, please? Son, be God, will you?
Yes.
Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and park, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. So we're just giving you some ideas here of what you can do to have more ease with the process. And the really important thing here is that you are also willing to just make up a clearing for yourself and just run it on you and just say, hey, I destroy and create everything. That is when something comes up and you're like, I don't even think this is mine. Who does that belong to?
Who does that belong to?
Yeah. So,
well,
yeah,
and another thing that I tell people to do is to destroy and, I mean, you know, when we're alive, one of the things that I do, and I know you do too, Susie, is destroy and uncreate our relationships with everybody every day and with our businesses. Yep. But even after your pet is gone, it's really helpful to destroy and uncreate your relationship with them every day because it's really easy after they've passed on to solidify who you've decided they are or were. And it doesn't then give you the freedom to actually be in the energy wherever they are and whoever, you know, they were for you. So it's really helpful even after they die to go ahead and destroy and create your relationship with them every day.
Yeah, that is a great tool. Thank you for the reminder on that. That's a very helpful tool, and it is it's powerful to do that. And like Marilyn, like you said, like with your business, your pet as it is alive, and I have mentioned this on the show, please do that. It is so important. It really gets you out of the rut of things. It gets you away from solidifying them into anything that you have decided they are, rather than them
than seeing them for who they're being that particular day. And everybody,
right,
like, including us, is different every day, so we have to be willing to look at that as well.
Right,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to mention for sure is that, you know, most people, like you were talking in the beginning, most people sort of want to avoid the idea of death. They really don't want to talk about it. But that doesn't really serve you. It doesn't serve anybody because it's sort of then it becomes this big shadow lurking over there that's bigger than you and more powerful than you. But the one thing that I have found, I mean, if you find yourself in, and this is a weird term to use, but I'm going to use it because I don't know what else to use, what I would call excessive grief. And what do I mean by that? I mean grief that's just tumultuous and going on and on and on and on and on. You might want to ask yourself, are there other deaths in my life that I haven't grieved? Because when a pet dies, when anyone dies, any being dies that you're close to, it brings up any other instances of death and grief, particularly if you haven't processed them, if you've shoved them down and avoided them. So if you, you know, haven't grieved the loss of your grandfather or another pet, or even, say, the death of a relationship and a divorce, it's going to bring that up. So if you, you know, it's just something to be aware of. If you notice that you just seems to be consuming you,
yeah,
you might want to ask some other questions about it. You know, is this just about, you know, my dog Rodney, or is this bringing up something else I need to look at? Because
yeah, that's a
it
good
will.
Point too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And some people, actually, it's really interesting, some people will go into this, and you call it excessive, and I know exactly what you mean. It's like it's an all-consuming
yes,
energy where you really are sort of no longer capable of running your life. You know, it's basically this place where you just fall into this big hole. And that is often something that... like you say, Marilyn, it seems like it's not appropriate in a way, and
yeah,
it's bigger than what it needs to be. And I'm not even trying to make anyone who's doing that wrong, but it does feel it's not necessary in a way that it's like it's way above and beyond the call of duty. I don't know how to say it really well. It's just it
you know
like
it's out of proportion. I think
it's out of proportion, exactly. So. So, yeah, if you're finding yourself in something like that, please use some tools, ask some questions, and see that you can get yourself, you know, more further out of that hole so you can have a look again at what's really going on. And, you know, Marilyn, you said you did that telecall. Is there a way to get a hold of that? Like, how would I get that call if I wanted it?
Yes. You can email me via my website, which is www.rightrecoveryforyou.com. And there's a place that says Contact Marilyn. And normally I sold that call for $250. But this is something I, particularly maybe just my own kitty dying, and I've had lots of other pets die, but I just... I'd really like to offer it at a special price at $97. If anybody is interested from this radio call, if you email me and say, I would like to buy the Recovering from Pet Loss teleseries. It was three calls, and I'll include a clearing loop as well, and just mention that you heard about it on the radio show. So for $97. Yeah, yeah. It was a
very
powerful call. Yeah, thank
you.
And I also do
knowing you,
private sessions coaching.
Yeah, and you are amazing, and you usually work with people in addiction and all kinds of things. And in a way, grief can turn into an addiction as well, I'm sure. So I think all of these places where we fall into the depths of any kind of emotion are are probably like where we're dealing with some strange form of addiction, I would say. So you are.
Well, it's all avoidance. It's really all avoidance. And it's so having someone to help you stay present can be really, really a crucial part of the healing process. And it was interesting because on the call I had people both who had, you know, pets who died a long, long time ago and people who were grieving pets that, you know, it was much more recent. But because our culture, our society, nobody really teaches us about ways to make the transition from life to death easier for us and our loved ones. You know, these old scars for some of these people had not healed. And, I find it's really helpful for people to revisit anything that they've not actually dealt with and allow themselves to go through the processes and their various tools and things that we used on the call, exercises, like some of I've mentioned, like having the pet write a letter to you, that really help people. And it's not so much, I know that putting closure is such an odd term. You mentioned that earlier, and I'm also like, that's just weird. It's really like, instead of closing it as a chapter in your life, it's more like integrating it into your life and being as something that you can be with and be okay with and appreciate, you know, really moving from the grief to the gratitude for your pet and then moving on with your life, carrying that gratitude with you so that the gratitude isn't overwhelmed by the grief.
That I like so much better than this weird word of closure, and that actually matches the energy much more because it isn't a closure. You're absolutely right. It's not really closing a chapter. It's like, and that's really one thing we talked about in the beginning, is like having the awareness also of the presence of the animal that has passed. A lot of times the animals hang around for quite a long time in spirit, and they are available to chat with us and be close to us. It's different, of course, than if they are in flesh and blood, but still they are there. And so there is that time too where you can sort of have that connection. So it's really not a real closure in that sense. So thank you for saying that and rephrasing it. That was beautifully done. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Susie. well, I know. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, different people have different belief systems. But for me, it's like I was very aware and am still aware of his energy around, however you want to say it. And I, you know, when I actually had the privilege of staying in your home with your wonderful dog, every once in a while I would call him Demi. And at first I thought, oh, I'm just so, and I'm like, no, you know what, that little kitty's around here. And he's making himself known. And he wasn't jealous. He was just like, hey, I'm here. Don't worry.
Yeah. And it's kind of cool because he can travel with you without having to, you know, get on an airplane. So
yes, and he hated being anywhere. He was very, in the body, he was very what we call state dependent. He did not like change.
Right.
So, you know, he knew his house. He was an indoor kitty, and that was it, man. He did, nah, we ain't going outside. Nah, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's really cool. Well, one thing actually that I wanted to bring up, though, as another tool that I find very helpful for people that have a really hard time with the actual pet being gone, is to be willing to actually make a connection with that energy that the pet is when they are no longer there in the physical form. And see if you can actually have a little bit of communication with your pet. And you can do that pretty much any time of the day or whenever you want to. It's not something that you have to carve out time for. It's like it could even be something you do between phone calls or something where all of a sudden, like when that energy comes up of grief, go into this moment of like, oh, are you around? Would you like to talk to me? And start to ask them some questions and just have that sweet moment of a couple of little sentences back and forth of communication. And that alone could also be like a big helpful thing for you to go through the process, as well as asking them like, hey, you know, would you actually like to come back to me again in another body? And a lot of times the animals will say yes to that, and they actually would like to come back to you in a new body that functions better and all of that. So if that is something you want to explore a little bit further, please do that too, because it can really shift the energy also for yourself in having a different outlook on what else might be a possibility with that same being, again, just in a different form. So, you know, just another little thought to toss around and play with the energy, if that works for you. So not everybody can do that.
I don't think that was just a little thought, Susie. I think you probably just blew some minds out there. But absolutely, yeah. I think, yeah. And that is so, so, so helpful. And the thing is, I think a lot of people, basically they go, oh, you know, like, I always, like, kind of knew that was possible, but I thought I was just really weird, stupid, and if I told anybody, they would lock me up in a loony bin. So just know you're not alone.
There's other weirdos out there.
There's other weirdos out there who have experienced the same things and know that they can talk to their pet even when he's not in a physical form. And we actually have a mutual acquaintance whose dog came back, and you could tell it was the same dog. In fact, it even had the same problem with one of its legs.
And I know who you're talking about here, and that is a great story, and I, on some other occasion in another radio show, have actually told that story. But really, if you, like so many people, when you introduce that concept to them, there are actually more stories like that where people then really do find the pet again, and it looks different. It's maybe a totally different kind of breed of animal. If it's a dog, it could be a totally different breed, and yet it has certain characteristics that your companion had, and you will recognize that right away. And it's kind of cute to see that and realize that you are dealing with the same being, just in a different body. And that is really fun, and for the animal too, because then they also get the acknowledgement and the recognition that they came back, you know, and that they're here again and willing to play with you some more. So, I like that. That is definitely a good one. Well, do you have any last-minute things you'd like to say, Marilyn? We're almost at the end of the show, so...
Gee whiz, just once again, just to reiterate, remember that your way of handling the death is going to be different than anybody else's, and allow yourself all of that. I mean, we mentioned the people who want to do trauma drama with you, and there are also people like, and I don't falter because this is the way my mom is, people who say, when I say my cat is very ill, she's like, oh, are you going to get another one? I mean, you're going to run into that, too. You know, you really want to go, okay, where am I with this, and what's going to nurture me, and what's going to honor my pet? And remember that there's absolutely no right or wrong way to do it, and there's no rules you have to follow, and there's no process that somebody has laid out that, oh, I didn't go through this step number four. No, that's forget all of that. It's really... just asking yourself as you go through it and as you work with your pet, okay, now what? What's going to be kindest and empowering and generative for both of us here? And what else can I do? And what's going to honor me and what's going to honor my pet? So really, if people can just remember to honor their process and not feel that it has to look a certain way, I think that's the root of what will allow things to unfold. And, you know, allow yourself to be where you are. if you have to function, go to work. But you know, come home, take some downtime. Take some, not down, but time. Don't try to, the other thing I would say is don't try to fill up your schedule so you can not think about it. That's really probably not a great idea.
Yeah, I would say actually that what you said earlier is to really be present and to be willing to look at it. And even if you have a moment of where you are crying hysterically, that's totally fine. I think the biggest problem is when you start to buy into it as if it was something that you needed to hold on to. Because I had those moments with my cat where I just had like a hysterical cry moment. But it's like, hey, indulge in it. Cry hysterically for a couple of minutes or however long it takes.
Yeah.
And then you're done. Like, and I know when I was done and I was like, oh, that felt good. And then on you go. So it's like, I think when you start to buy those things as real or as something that you have to hold on to is when you really get yourself into trouble. So, yeah, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really want to thank you for being here today, Marilyn. This was a brilliant show. I hope you guys enjoyed it out there listening as well. But I just really, I'm so grateful you were here with me today with this, and we definitely talked about a lot of really cool stuff, and I hope it helped some of our listeners to get a little bit of a different perspective, maybe a little bit of assistance through this particular process. So very grateful.
Well, and thank you. Thank you, Susie, for having me. I think your show is amazing, and I think it's just so awesome. You're giving people a different way to relate to animals in all stages of their lives and in all the ways that the animals are and that we are with them. And I just think what you're doing is a huge service to people. So
thanks.
Very cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marilyn. I really appreciate it. Yeah, and just one more time, I just want to give people this information one more time. So if you would like to get Marilyn's amazing offer that she gave to us, which is really very generous, thank you so much, go to her website, rightrecoveryforyou.com. And then there's on the front page, it says email Marilyn. Just click on that, email her. Tell her you want to get a hold of that and mention our radio show, and she will set you up. I think that's really kind of you, so I love that. And if you would like a private session with Marilyn, contact her too. She is amazing and deals with all kinds of things. And, you know, if you want to poke around on the Right Recovery website, please do. She has a lot to offer.
Oh,
so,
thank you, Susie, so much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
No, absolutely. I adore you. You're amazing. So,
well,
yes.
You are too, Susie.
Thanks. All right. Well, thank you all for listening today. We'll be blah, 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 blah. Now I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I always want to say we'll see you again next week, but I don't actually ever get to see them. So this is a weird... This is one weird way of relating in radio, huh? We'll see you next week.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll hear my voice next week again.
You'll
same
hear me.
Time.
We look forward to you, yes, next week, whatever.
That's a better one. So looking forward to being in touch with you again next week. And at the same time, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for being here. And have a wonderful, wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Conversations with Dog.